استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد
There are only two places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed us as human being individually. Ya ayyuhal insan, that O human being, the people of Sarf and Nahw and grammarians, they say that here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Ya ayyuhal insan, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing each of us individually by names. So it is saying, O Muhammad, O Bashir, O Hassan, O Imran, O Nazir. And individual, this is an individual address which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal insan, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ Which thing has deluded you about your Lord? Which thing has kept you away, is keeping you away from your Lord? Which thing, which creation have deceived you from your Lord who is so much generous? He, الَّذِي خَلَقَ He created you and you've fallen for other things. How strange that is. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ He created you, He shaped you in such a beautiful, handsome way and formed you. But what you do? كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ You reject His system, you reject His invitation. But meaning it doesn't matter if you reject, you've fallen for women, you've fallen for wealth and health and ego. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. They are a protector who are assigned to you. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. Very honored scribes who are writing what you are doing, which things you are taking you away from me, what you are saying, what you are doing, what you are seeing. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And they know, and they will inform you as well on the day of judgment. Give you the book. You be your own judge. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ حَسِيبًا. اِقْرَى كِتَابَكَ. On the day of judgment, it will be said, اِقْرَى كِتَابَكَ. Read your book and be your own judge by looking at it. It will be sufficient for your judgment. You will come to judgment as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do whatever you want, but إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. The good doers, the true worshippers, they will be in all kinds of blessing. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. And the wretched one and the transgressors, they are going to be in a very evil, very bad, very torturous place. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting us. He's giving da'wah to us. Allah is the greatest da'i. It's something which a person who performs, he is performing the sunnah of Allah. Sunnah of Anbiya. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's two things we can find in the Quran. One is he sends mercy and rahmah upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is salat ala nabi. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala nabi. Second thing is Allah is the da'i. Wallahu yad'u ila da'i salam. Allah gives you invitation. Or Quran is the da'wah of Allah. Da'wah of Allah. So if anyone does that, he is performing the sunnah of Allah, giving da'wah. Not of Allah, but Anbiya. It is the sunnah of Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam have high status. He is angel, others are angels as well. One is controlling the souls, life and death is coming through him, meaning the agency of Israel alayhi salam. This should be big thing. He should be the king. But no, what about Mikael who controls the provisions and the risk and the treasures of the world and provides risk to everything? He should be the king because he has the treasures. Or what about Israfil? With him, his soul, everything is going to be destroyed. He should be the king. He has soul power. But why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Jibreel alayhi salam the king? Because he is da'i. He gives da'wah. He brings the message to people. Anbiya alayhi salam, I mean by people, not actually other people. To Anbiya. So anyone who will become an inviter or da'i, his status is going to raise. Amongst human beings, Anbiya are the greatest inviter towards truth. They have the highest status. Amongst angels, Jibreel alayhi salam, he is the message bearer. He has the highest status. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sunnah to give da'wah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest degree and level of paradise will be of those people after Anbiya alayhi salam who are giving conveyor of this message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving da'wah as well. So today inshallah we are going to cover the next stage. We gave you the example of the plane. The doors are the seven organs. The tires are the conditions, Aqeedah and Fiqh. The wings are the conditions, Tawbah and Mujahidah, Aqeedah and Fiqh. The doors of the seven organs. The shell of the plane is purification of the mind. The shell should be there, meaning it represents purification of the mind. What are the what is the third stage, which is the purification of the heart, and its heart has qualities. So purification of the heart, the third stage representing the plane, purification of the heart and soul are the seats in the plane. So it says the seats in the plane represent the third stage of purification of the heart. It represents the different qualities of goodness which one can achieve. The heart's qualities like sincerity, ikhlas, humbleness, tawadu, and servitude, and shukr, thankfulness, patience, sabr, the qana'a, the zuhud. The zuhud meaning not having inclination towards dunya. These are the inner qualities of the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa azza wa jal. So seats represents. Now look at the seats of the plane here on the screen. Are you looking at the screen? You see, I always say to people, I am not an important person. You never need to look at me. You need to look at the message, meaning, or hear my words. They are important, or the message. Why you see me every day, there is nothing new about that. So look at the screens, that how these seats are representing the qualities. So these are of patience, servitude, shukr, and then all of the qualities of the heart. If the shell is the purification of the mind, so mind is outside, inside the heart is there are seats like this. And you can actually either have the good ones or the bad ones, good qualities. So after purification of the mind, the third stage is to have the seeds. If the seeds are good, alhamdulillah, then it says, is your seed first class, or is it the seeds which are on fire? Fire shall inflame the entire plane. His entire soul shall be on the route to destruction. Meaning, how good is your character? Your seeds of goodness as you sit to take this journey towards Allah. So what it is saying is that seeds are also of different qualities. One are the economy class, then the business class, then there is the first class, then there is even luxury more. And having bad qualities in the heart is like to put your seeds on fire. So, are your seats of the first, this class, which is also you can have a small level of ikhlas, small level of patience, small level of shukr, or are they like this, the luxurious ones? Similarly, like their difference in the seats and their classes, similarly there is difference in the quality. The level of sabr and shukr and humbleness which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, even the Sahaba do not have. The level of what the Sahaba Rizwanul Ali Majmain have of this quality, of these qualities of the heart, like zuhud and shukr and sabr and humbleness, other awliya Allah do not have. And what awliya Allah have, they also have different degree. For every person of a different level of patience, servitude and shukr. So they represent the seeds, meaning. And if the seeds are good, alhamdulillah, the journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more easier. Because it's difficult to get the first class seat, but once you have it, the journey becomes easier. You maybe have to pay more money. So again, I say, so just to settle in your mind, the purification of the heart, the third stage is represented by the seeds of the plane. So the seeds represent the inner qualities of goodness. The seeds are like this. And then I said the seeds can be of different level. It can be economy, it can be business class, it can be first class. Which is your seat? First class? If it's the first class and luxurious seat, your journey is easy. That is why when you attain the qualities of shukr and sabr at high level, your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easier. That's why only Allah, they find easier to get to Allah. And we have either little economy we are sitting, or even not economy, ours are on fire. What to say? How is that person going to travel? When the seats are on fire, as it says, or is it the seats which you are on the fire? The fire shall inflame the entire plane. The entire soul shall be on the route to destruction. Meaning when you have fire of hasad, fire of jealousy, it's a fire. It consumes your good deeds, it consumes your body, your organs even start to act actually in evil, to hating people, harming people. Jealousy brings it, inflames, and it envelopes all your body and mind in the fire of it. Similarly, somehow egoistic, takabbur, kibar, that also inflames. The seat is on fire, what happens to the plane? Now the doors cannot save him. Now the shell cannot save him, unless it is actually very serious. So try to keep it on the screen. As I said, very minimum you want to listen to me, meaning my face. Try to keep on the screen. People are hearing the message. Message is important. Person is not the important thing. See, in the screen they see the message and they hear the message, alhamdulillah, if they are seeing. So, alhamdulillah. So, try to focus on that. Okay, this is, or you are, if you have high level of humbleness, humility, like in the Tariqah Muhammadiyah course, we teach 8 levels of humbleness. So, from the first level to the 8th level, you can have the, from the economy, low seats, and sitting in the first and high class. There are levels of ikhlas. 7 levels of ikhlas coming. Every seat is the quality of goodness of one's character. But some seats are ripped and torn with stains of urine and stool. What do you think about those seats? How that journey is going to be pleasant when it is urine, stool, torn, ripped apart? These, they represent the qualities of jealousy, self-likeness, because it is the quality of shaitan. That these people become shaitan as well. Why? Simply because they have the qualities of shaitan in them. So this is the example of the, if you look at the screen, if the seeds, that's what happening to the seeds, that's what's happening to your heart. If they are torn, if they are, who will sit in that plane? How you are going to be journeying in when urine and stool is being soiled? So that is why those people cannot travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their heart is more filthy than urine and stool even. Because urine and stool can easily be purified with water. But the urine and stool of the heart, which means the bad qualities like kibar, love of dunya, shahwa, and hasad, and all these things, and pride, and kibar, and all these things, they have to be cleansed by the fire of hell. Otherwise they don't become clear. Either you do tazkiyah, you purify them here by doing zikr and using those techniques and methodology which the mashayikh give you the path. Otherwise, if you end up, if you die during having those bad qualities, then that's why these people will be sent in the hellfire, so that it can purify them. Like when the gold is impurified, then it is sent in the furnace to get the impurities away. Because it, you can't normally do that without that. So that's hell for Muslim, for believer. It will be a place of purification, but it's a very harsh way to be purified, very difficult way to be purified with the fire. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given out of His mercy easy option. One tawbah, one drop or one of blood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, or one teardrop is sufficient to put out the fire of hell. Here it's very easy. Or even without that, the person does the repentance with the right conditions, alhamdulillah, then he is successful. So you should consider that what type of heart you want, what type of seeds you want. These ones, or actually these ones. So the third stage of the path of Tariqah Muhammadiyya or the purification treats these qualities and enhances them and makes them even better. So we'll just go in little bit now detail to say how this is done. Next it says, the human being is always in four states. Like the other yesterday a brother was asking, is health good for me or is sickness good for me? I was saying to him that your reaction determines this good, what is good for you. They both can be good for you, health or sickness, but your reaction will determine. So Mashaykh Sheikh Al-Mashaykh Abu Al-Abbas Al-Mursi Rahmahullah and other Mashaykh as well, he said this, that the human being is in always in four states, meaning four conditions. Either, just ponder, either you are in ni'mah, in blessings, you are enjoying health, wealth, and you have different kinds of ni'mah and children and whatever the ni'mah of dunya and akhirah, you have them. Either you are experiencing during the day or night them, or you can be in the condition of calamity, problems, musibah and afflictions. This can be one condition of the human being, or it can be a state of a blessing. So during the day you keep switching from one to the other. Sometimes you're feeling good, good news is happening, everything is fine. The other, then something else happens, something wrong goes with your health, your mood becomes off and things like this. All the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests people with this. And the other two are, either you are in state of obedience, ita'a, either you are in a state of, you are doing something good, lawful, or you are doing something unlawful, disobedience. Insan ki sirf ye char halte hoti hain. Ya to wo halte nematu mein hota hai, nemat mein, ya halte musibat mein, ya wo acha kaam kar raha hota hai, ya wo bura kaam kar raha hota hai. Yahi char cheezein hain. These are the four things only where the human being actually experiences. Aapka bhi yahi hai. If you ponder over your own condition, you will find one of these four is happening all the time. Either you are in blessings, either you are in musibah, affliction, either you are in state of obedience, doing good deeds, or you are in a state of sinfulness. So the Mashayikh said these four can come sometime without the person's control, especially blessings and musibah. But the blessings and calamity can come without the control. So what can a person do? So they said that if you can adopt right reaction to each of them, then see what happens. Let's say blessings come and you respond to blessings with thankfulness. You do shukr. You are thankful. You are not using that blessing in the disobedience of Allah. You are confessing the blessing from being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are sharing that blessing with others. Meaning that's thankfulness. So every blessing you are thankful for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you become thankful, I will increase for you. I will increase for you. So then, what is the result? Look at the result. The blessing remains a blessing. Whilst if a person becomes unthankful, wala in kafartum, if you are unthankful, then that blessing is taken away from you. You are deprived. Shaitan was unthankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He was unthankful and denier. He had a great blessing being in Jannah, and he is deprived now. He is living as though in hell now. Hell of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any blessing you are not thankful, it will become a curse for you. It will become, actually you will be deprived of it sooner or later. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give it to you for a number of years to test you. So look at that. So I covered the first one, that if the blessing, you want it to remain blessing, respond it with thankfulness. Like some of the mashayikh said, blessing cannot be chained. You can't chain a blessing, it never goes from you. They say, yes, there is one chain you can tie the blessing with. That is, chain is called shukr and thankfulness. They say, tie down your blessings with the chain of thankfulness. Shukr ki zanjeer se har nemat ko jakad lo, nemat jayegi nahi phir. Shukr wo zanjeer hai ki agar banda usko istemal kare to nemat jati nahi. Ye zanjeer nemat ko rakhti. So everyone is worried, this blessing does not go, this does not go. Well, do shukr and inshallah you will see it increases only, it doesn't decrease. So this is one state of human being, nema. Other his state is musiba, that when calamity is before. Remember, calamity is a sign of goodness, is a sign of goodness really. It's not a sign of evil. Calamity, depending upon your response, is a sign of goodness. Someone has sent me 40 ahadith relating to calamity, the Prophet's prophetic teaching regarding musibah. 40 ahadith. Sometime I will cover one by one or two. But Rasulullah SAW have given guidance regarding, because these people are, we are experiencing problems, difficulties, depression and all these problems of financial, social, mental and other things now and then. And what has the Prophet ﷺ given guidance upon? We don't bother to know that, then we make up our own mind what's happening. When we are lucky, we feel we are unlucky. When we are unlucky, we feel we are lucky. That is the opposite things we will be concluding. Anyway, if you are in musiba and you respond to that affliction with patience, that as a result also become a blessing. Can you see now? That although it was calamity, now patience has turned that into a blessing. Patience has turned that into a blessing. And what is patience? Patience, sabr, means to stop, to withhold. So what does sabr mean? Many people have wrong ideas about sabr. Sabr, in the shari istilah, in the istilah of tazkiyah and ihsan and tasawwuf, sabr means to withhold and stop. From what? When calamity befalls, when you are in problem, then under pressure, you sometimes think that you can solve this problem, but you have to disobey Allah. If someone is misbehaves with you, you say, I have to teach this person a lesson. Only then, he is going to learn. Or you have come in poverty and now someone offers you, you can sell drugs, you are under pressure, you see. Or if you cannot get married or you got divorced or something happens and now you are under pressure to adopt unlawful way for intimacy. So under pressure, under calamity, the pressure of calamity, in the pressure of calamity and problem, to restrain yourself from disobeying Allah is the sabr. That is patience. Sabr is not the name of don't cry, don't weep. Well, this is natural and it is sunnah to cry over calamities or actually loss. This is not against sabr. To be grieved, this is also sunnah, meaning that it is a natural response of human being. This is not against sabr. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, who can be more patient? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said, for sabrun jameel, the best sabr he had done. For sabrun jameel, he said, the best, the most beautified, the most highest sabr in his times, because he was a Nabi and a Rasul, he had done the best sabr. But what me and you have idea of sabr, according to that criteria, he's not done sabr, nauzubillah. Because he was crying all the time, he even lost his eyes, he was crying for Yusuf alayhi salam, and actually being upset so many long years. So the criteria, what sabr we think, if we were there, we would say, you said, have sabr to our Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. Nauzubillah, we are going to give advice to the Prophet of sabr. While he has inborn quality of sabr and highest level of sabr, in Surah Yusuf is mentioned, for sabrun jameel, he said. For sabrun jameel. So what is this means? We have a wrong idea about sabr. Sabr also means stopping, but in Sharia I'm saying, it doesn't mean that you don't become upset, you don't become grieved, you don't cry. Like people die and they say, don't cry, have sabr. Meaning, well, what do they say to Yaqub alayhi salam, who was weeping so much that he lost eyes? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed tears was rolling down his blessed cheeks actually on the death of Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala, his blessed son, and also on the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hazrat Hamza and other times as well. So you see how we hear these words, but we simply even do not know the simple meaning, let aside the levels of sabr, which all, how we are going to achieve. Because in the speeches and discourses, they say sabr karna chahiye, sabr bahut achhi cheez hai, sabr ka bahut bada darja hai. But they have to explain as well, what is, for a normal layman person, what is sabr. So I again say, sabr means, in the condition of problem, in the condition under pressure of calamity, under pressure of poverty, to withhold, restrain yourself from disobeying Allah on the hope that Allah will compensate you. You say that I am not going to do disobedience of Allah, and what I want, Allah, I will get from Allah in a lawful way. So sabr have these two things. Sabr is not only that you withhold from the or restrain yourself from disobedience, but the person who is not sabir, he doesn't withhold from disobedience of Allah to get what he wants, desirable result he wants. And a sabir person withholds himself from disobeying Allah on the hope that Allah will give him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verily said, Inna Allah ma'a sabireen. Allah is with those who under pressure don't disobey Allah. Allah's help is with them. Allah gives them. Then Allah is like, you are saying, oh Allah, I won't disobey you. You now compensate me. You fight my war. You. Then Allah becomes the, you may say, fights the war of that person. Because he is not. Let's say a person who misbehaves, who is using swearing words against you, and you feel like, beating him up and swearing 10 times. You are under pressure. That's what I mean. When you are under pressure like this, and withholding yourself from disobedience of Allah, no, this is, Allah does not allow me to do this, I'm not doing this. And you just actually, on the hope, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you withhold. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has withheld because of me, now I will be the avenger of my servant from the person. So the angel, he curses that person, he says same thing, curses him back actually, instead of that person. Isko kehte hain, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a person became disrespectful, saying inappropriate thing to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was just responding goodly, but then he thought that it is, this person is getting really out of order, and in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he is using these evil and these shameful words. He responded to him that be silent, and became harsher with him, and used. And then he saw that the Prophet ﷺ immediately left and went to walk away separately than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala left that person there because he was now worried about the Prophet ﷺ, that why he has walked away, have he done something wrong. He went running behind the Prophet ﷺ, said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, when that person was saying all these bad things, you were there, and I was patient listening, you were with there. And when that person, I responded and then you left, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you were silent and patient, an angel was answering on your behalf. An angel was answering on your behalf. But when you started to answer, angel went away, shaitan came there. So wherever there is shaitan, Allah's Nabi does not stay there. So obviously when this happens, then shayateen come. And they actually then take the control of that situation. So Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Yaqub, who is the father of thousands of prophets, because his other title is Israel. It was the title, Laqab of Hazrat Yaqub. So Bani Israel are all his children, and all the prophets of Bani Israel are his descendants. So such a great prophet, Hazrat Sayyidina Yaqub. So I was giving you an example. He was crying and weeping, and also doing, meaning grieved. He's lost. He hurt himself physically as well. Physically his health became affected. His eyes became affected. So much so. So what is sabr then? How did he practice sabr? The question comes, then how did he practice? What was the sabr that he practiced? And as I mentioned, that the Quran says that he practiced the sabrun jameel, the higher level of sabr, the most best level of patience he practiced. And on our standard, na'udhu billah, he was not practicing sabr. So now from with the definition which I mentioned to you, under that definition look, then you will see him practicing sabr. How? The best sabr. His sons come back after causing harm to Yusuf al-Islam and throwing him in the well. They come back and they bring his shirt stained with blood, and saying that Yusuf al-Islam was eaten up by a wolf, and we did. No, he was a prophet of Allah, and he knew he had not eaten up by wolf, because he said to his sons that this was a strange and wonderful kind of wolf, that who took off his shirt before eating him up, because all the shirt is intact, there is no bite, there is no tearing. And how did he only said this, I mean, that this is a strange shirt, it is bidhamin kazib, a lying blood, meaning they use blood of a goat putting on the anything. Imagine at that state not to criticize them, not to respond harshly to them, or not to condemn them. This is sabr which he did once. Knowing that. We sometimes don't know the full, for example, situation. We just on the bad opinion of people. Yeah, I know where you're speaking from. Well, this person himself doesn't know where he's speaking from. He's speaking from opinion, or his zan, or his, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't speak about just because of opinion. Ijtanibu min al-zan. That actually, because the speak with knowledge, And the Quranic terminology, when Quran says ilm, it doesn't mean any knowledge. In this terminology of Quran, ilm means which is fact, which is absolute, in which there is no doubt. Quran only says ilm to that thing. To all other it says zan, it is conjecture, it is a hearsay things, I have idea, I know where this person is coming from. This is, you see, opinion, and Quran said that don't, this you are confiscating the right of the Muslim if by having opinion. Don't have opinion, like especially negative one, because it's not knowledge. It is not. It's not knowledge. As I said, sometimes people are in different states. Awliyaullah, Ahlullah, sometimes are. Or normal example, I'll give you. For example, you go to a house and you visit your friend or your teacher or friend or whatever who is or relative. They in the house, husband and wife is having a big fight and big row, and they are actually throwing things at each other and quarreling, and in the midst of that, you knock the door. Now, this requires a lot of patience. He opens the door and he says, he obviously he is in that point and tense situation. He might say to you, "Hey, are you, is there anything, any emergency you come for, anything I can do for you? Otherwise, please excuse me, I'm busy something." And you might go back and thinking, "Oh, this person doesn't have good manners at all. He didn't treat me well. He didn't even ask me to come in the sitting room. He didn't even offer me a cup of tea." Now, on that basis, you can form an opinion of the person, and then on basis of that opinion, a grudge will appear. You will say to the other person, "Oh, he is an immoral person," and you will, "I'm not going to him again, never in my life." All this is on the base of zan and opinion. Whilst if you know the reality, you would have appreciated that your friend or your relative or the person, in spite of being in such a fiery situation, he still was somewhat actually speaking to me and didn't actually involve me as such, etc., etc. So I'm just giving one example that how opinions and just having having opinions of people, not having knowledge, absolute knowledge. Quran says absolute. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kafā bil mar'i kaziba na yuḥaddisa bi kulli ma samia." It is sufficient to be a person lying. Considered a lying person who just hearsay things. I've heard from him. And the other say, "I heard from him." Hearsay things, they are not absolute knowledge. The Quran always said that he do investigate only. And because of this, many misunderstandings, many big mistakes and quarrels and disputes between people, between communities, between countries, between even families, between husband and wife, between friends, between business partners, actually this happens because of opinion. So never actually, if you're not 100% sure, don't make any opinion out of it. And if you are doubt, if you have strong doubt, best thing is to ask the person and then accept what he says. Don't then keep pushing with your opinion. No, you meant this. Now person says, "You said this, why you did this, what was the purpose?" That he said, "It is, I say this." I say, no, you are not meaning what you are saying. You mean differently. I'll tell you what you mean, what you have said. No, this is wrong as well. Then you are again going on another trip of conjecture and zan. Going from one way to the other, falling from one trap to the other. So, the Sayyidina Isa al-Islam was a person, sinless person, Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. It's narrated in Sahih Bukhari that once he saw a person stealing with his own eyes. He was taking something from them, and Hazrat Isa al-Islam, after called him, he said, "O servant of Allah, this is not good, this is not lawful. What you have done is not lawful. It is stealing is bad." And he said, "By Allah, O Nabi Allah, O Prophet of Allah, by Allah, I have not done it." Isa al-Islam said, You are speaking the truth, my eyes have deceived me. Even looking, and he thought that it might be that I've not seen right. So Anbiya alayhi salam are of this nature, that's the nature. And we can't see behind the wall, we've never seen a person, just a far-fetched idea, this person said this because he said this, because 1 year ago this happened, and then his sister said this to me, and that's all the story. This is all shaitanic web which people fall into, and the Quran. Anyway, similarly, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam did simple as well. He knows if in forefront, in front of him, that it is not truth. What they are presenting as evidence is not truth. But because the brothers were saying that he was killed by a wolf and eaten, he remained silent and he didn't go on his zan, on his conjecture. So this required a great number of patience to withhold. Otherwise, how much love he had for Yusuf al-Islam. He could have erupted if we were in that situation. You know, you are deceiving me, a prophet of God, that you've done something evil and now you are hiding it. Imagine how much, this is the patience, this is sabr he committed, for sabrun jameel. And then year after year, what was the other sabr? Because it was the plan of Allah. When the brother used to say, Father, why you are crying and weeping? Hazrat Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam said, وَعَلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know from Allah what you do not know. Because Allah had given him some knowledge. So other sabr is that, because it was the plan of Allah that he does not interfere with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. In spite of knowing Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam where he is, he withheld himself here. And not only at that time, 40 years he became king, or he became minister, he became youthful age. In those years, in spite of knowing that he is living there, but because the command of Allah not to, you should not actually contact him, nor he should contact you. This is sabr. This is because the command of, he is following the command of Allah. Yes, he is weeping, he is in separation with him. And then the brothers did many, this is a full story of Sayyidina Yusuf al-Islam, and you can see the sabr which he practiced was that he abstained from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, and he was committed to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations. So understand, sabr is not that you do not cry. Yes, if you don't feel crying, don't cry. It's not necessary to cry as such. But sabr means actually under pressure of different circumstances, in problem, withhold from disobedience of Allah on the hope that Allah will now fight your war, Allah will compensate you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ma'as sabirin. Allah's help is with the sabir. I am with the sabir. Because he withheld from my disobedience because of me, you know, I will fight. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala did sabr in Karbala, and then Allah fought his war. After in a number of months, and Ahli Yazid and all the entire leadership of the Bani Umayyah, and they were actually wiped out of the world. Now you won't find a person who says, yeah, I am the descendant of Yazid. Finished. But who he tried to finish, and his descendants, Imam Hussein, you find many people in all countries that they are his descendants. And truly there are, and some are falsely saying that we are his descendants, but truly there are as well. And others are just actually, some are mere. And it is a great sin to attribute yourself to any other ancestry which you are not sure. So even we have if you have a shajara, still that is just it can be true, it can be wrong as well. This gives you an idea, unless it is such a very, very authentic as such. Otherwise, you are just be happy to be from the descendant of Sayyidina Adam al-Islam and Sayyidina Nuh. You don't have to invent a lie. I am the son of the Prophet, I am son of Imam Hussein, or etc. anything. If you want to feel privileged, say, I am son of two great prophets of Allah, Sayyidina Adam and Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. And that is true. If you feel good, well, feel good. But you will only be good if you do good, by not just feeling good. So ye have, so this is, we come back actually to the second stage which you can fall into is calamity, and if you practice patience, that in turn becomes blessing, and if you are in ni'ma, that becomes blessing, and inshallah we will cover the others inshallah tomorrow, the other two, and then inshallah this third stage will finish, and we'll tell you the methodology as well, and then we speak about the fourth, and inshallah then finish. So we finish here now. If you have any question regarding what has been said today, the topic, or what Brother Ilyas said, meaning things in relation to today, as time is limited, you have to do other halqas and things. But be sure that if you want to meet myself, ask me to, you can come together, 4, 5, 6 people, they can, I can meet them. And if it is entirely private matter, you can't disclose, like a big sin, you killed someone, or you actually dealing in drugs, or actually maybe there are people do all kinds of, or you can be anything, then you must not say in people, then you must see in privacy, alone person. So alone person, but otherwise you 5, 6 people, 4 people come, alhamdulillah, I see, and I don't want to create a barrier between myself. You can see any time, in the sense when I have time. Now in the itikaf time is a very busy schedule. I also have to do my amals after this. You also have to do your things. But whenever there is time, if you give your name to the brother Afzal or whoever, on your turn, you will be seen. It's better if you come, it's general matter, you come together. About tariq, about, if it's individual matter, individual progress matter, which is not to be disclosed to others, then it is separately. So it doesn't mean you should have bad opinion of people who see me individually now, that they must have something very serious going on. People just come, some don't feel comfortable in front of people to say general things as well, and or they have other matters like family and other things as well. But I don't want to create barrier, because our Mashayikh said that this is not good. People sometimes they go and visit, want to visit people and teachers and for advice, and there are barriers, they don't let them see for months and months and say you have to pay money or you have to have this. No, here I have tried, and it is not you, it is open for you, especially after itikaf in Mondays and Thursdays, especially Monday all night I am here just for this purpose. See, and obviously if you were alone, I'll see you alone at any time. But because there are 10, 20, 30 people, sisters or whatever, then others have rights as well. So then people say, I have to wait 4 hours. One person said, I have to wait 4 hours to see you. I said, I also waited 4 hours to see you. Because I was sitting the same thing. Because I was also waiting 4 hours. Because your name came and I didn't go home. So we are unequal. But you are on a more privilege, because you were sleeping outside doing whatever you want, and I had to talk these 4 hours to others. So you are in rather more, better situation. But anyway, you can ask general questions here, and if you have other questions, generally you should tell the brothers, and 5, 6, 10 people can come in that room and generally discuss anything. And if it's individual matter, they should give their name, and on their turn, inshallah, you see them. أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو.
If you can relate the question to today's topic, then very helpful.
Just want to ask about the idea of an job without the claim. This gives a bit more details. If I give you a prescribe it more, is it more forgiveness and more benefit, more baraka?
A person crying and weeping is a sign of sincerity. It can be because of love, it can be because of fear of Allah, it can be because of remorse. So it is a good sign. But if a person have bad intention to impress others, like actors cry in films as well, you can't say that's always good, meaning they are meaning acting. So if you have ulterior motive, is you're doing, but if it's natural state which comes to you, good and well, alhamdulillah, that is fine. There are states, people move, people cry, some people have hearts, they become affected very much. So crying and weeping is a virtue, but our mashayikh say more of it is a virtue in seclusion, when you are alone. Our mashayikh, when they were in public, when they were like Hazrat Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi, was sitting, and there was a naat or nasheed, the mahfil sima going on, meaning that people, someone was reading a nasheed, and other, many other people who were affected, they were crying, weeping, jumping about, and tearing their clothes and things. And Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi was rahmatullahi was silent, as though nothing is happening. And someone said to him that, don't you become affected, such. And he said, touch my body. When he touched his body, it was that actually like rivers are flowing in his body, meaning his body was there. And he said, he recited a verse of Quran which said actually that on the day of judgment, you will see mountains and you will think that they are stationary, but they will be flying in the air. So tahsabul jamidu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you will look at them and they will be moved, meaning he was saying that they are in a movement, and because actually, you know that. But if someone is overwhelmed, there is no harm in there, but don't pretend. The awliya Allah, they are more dominant on their states. And sometimes they do also become affected by this. So there is no sin in that. But pretension is not good as such. So those people, because riya, ostentation, showing off can easily come in there. Shaitan can play with the person very easily. And if you are doing in alone, in seclusion, when you are, no one is there, then Rasulullah said, any person who is alone and he cries with the fear of Allah, and even few tears come out of his eye, this is one of those seven people who will be given the shade of the arsh of Allah on the day of judgment. So crying in seclusion. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was smiling in public most of Rasulullah as well. Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, fear of Allah was dominant, his state was dominant, that was dominant. He was most frequently weeping with the fear. John the Baptist, they say in English, or Hazrat Yahya in Arabic. So because he was weeping and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was smiling, once they were both cousins as well, from mother's side, they were relatives as well. So they met both prophets, and Hazrat Yahya saw Isa alayhi salam smiling, Isa alayhi salam saw Yahya weeping, and Hazrat Yahya, during their conversation, that Isa alayhi salam said, Yahya, have you forgotten the mercy of Allah? That how Allah, how merciful Allah is. You are a prophet of Allah. Why do you weep so much? And Yahya said, oh, messenger of Allah, oh, the person who got the Injil, have you become forgetful or heedless or of the fear of the wrath of Allah and of the power of Allah, that He does whatever He wills. Even if He punishes, Isa alayhi salam, if He punishes me, still it is the justice of Allah. So Yahya alayhi salam said, where is the fear and the grandeur and the greatness of Allah and showing? So both prophets, they gave comments about each other and try to console each other, meaning that they cry less. He wanted that Isa alayhi salam to become more, also be in state of fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now it is the different opinion of the Prophet, no man can decide now. Only Allah can decide now. So that is why we say to people, when Sahaba ikram rizwanul alayhim ajma'in have a difference, you have no judgment, you have no authority to judge in them. Because the judge should have more power the more knowledge than who he is judging. And you and me have more knowledge than the Sahaba is one ajma'in. Similarly, when I'm my mujtahideen, the I'm my fiqh, they have difference of opinion, we have no qualification to judge between them. Similarly, great awliya Allah, when they have difference, we have no authority to judge between them. So they were Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salam. Yes, if Rasulullah s.a.w. was living at that time, he would have actually judged them, because he is the master, he is the prophet of them as well. But because he was not born, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to give the decision, the message of Allah. The angel came and he said, O the prophets of Allah, O Sayyidina Yahya, O Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Allah has sent me and Allah has said, your both states are good. I like both of you. But if you want to know the virtuous one, and that is, in private I like the state of Yahya, in public I like the state of Isa alayhi salam. تو وہ اللہ پاک نے جو پیغام بھیجا فرمایا کہ خلوت میں یہ رونا دھونا ہی اچھا ہے اور جلوت میں یعنی لوگوں میں مسکرانا ہی اچھا ہے جو ہے اس میں تو اس میں جو ہے سو دیٹس اٹ ماشاء اللہ
and your comments on it. His vision talked about the internal characters of the Cambodia people who are in the organization, etc. What do you say to a person who sees that there are opportunities to, in whatever small way, could help or assist the organizations because of the fear of the kind of vision which was expressed, that is it best to wait for an opportunity so that when the things are right, so the person can contribute, or is it because fear of conflict, etc., a person should move aside and then even though they may be aware of things that which if taken steps would move the tree forward. And whatever that forward is, Allah knows best for me, because what from their experience. So, if you wish to make a comment or on that, would be helpful. Or if not appropriate, then that would be fine as well.
Right. Yes, I would say on that the matter is that everyone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with different qualities, different wealth, different intellect, different skills, and in their own capacity, be it planning, be it computer, be it a particular niche where a message can get through, for example books or articles or somehow TV, whatever quality that person has, he knows he can offer. Meaning that, for example, a person says that, look at these diagrams. Now, how much meaning effort is put by brothers, the media team put in? Firstly, I come up with the guidance of Mashayikh and the Awliya Sulaha, up with the idea with the diagram, then I give them the idea, then they actually create and make, so 60, 70, 80 slides. You cannot imagine how much effort goes behind that and thought, and they, especially, oh, the brother is not here, Brother Ansar, he does the main work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, and he does the main work, and he does a lot of things and changes and about this, and he has this quality, he is doing that, and alhamdulillah he has offered, so he is made use of that, and Alhamdulillah, he is doing his part. Although he might not be doing other parts, but his part is that. Similarly, there will be other person who will have a different kind of capacity, quality. Some have money, some have skill, some have time. So here there is a room for everyone. Some can travel to different lands, some can't travel. They can work here, they can work on the running of things. So I think the best way to, if a person wants to contribute, is to offer his service, saying that, yes, I am on this occasion, or you may say, I have these skills, and if I am utilized for deen, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if the inshallah that person will be appropriately make use of. The other is, like you are saying, that like in the vision is shown that some people are after ego, some people are doing sincerely, meaning if this, it will come through the system sometimes. It is like, it's like the government, let's say the government of labor or conservative are in power. So way to make changes, contribute to society. One way is that I stand up a flag, you know, they are wrong people, I want to change, throw away the government and things, etc., etc., and I'm going to force, like in many countries happen, people do things. Now that is an inappropriate way. The government is not going to change like that as such. It's going to be a lot of struggle and thing, and rather than benefiting the society, I can actually harm the society at large. The other way is like they have made a system. In some countries there is not system, that's why people are reacting, like in Syria for example, what's happening, etc. In some countries there are system. If you form a political party, and like in this country system, or ally with a political party and forward your aims, and whatever level support you will have, you can go and say in parliament, and maybe if you have a good thing, people will listen to you, like this, many of these pressure groups, these, green promoting groups, that they have their members in parliament, they speak on their behalf, and they are doing a positive contribution, and if something is really worthwhile, the government might take up, or they have a good, really thing, support system, they might come up with that completely new political party, and if it's goodness and people will support, so then it's benefit. Or other person wants to benefit, like there is a lot of poverty in the country for example, or crime problem. I have this idea, I'm not member of party as such, or for example, but I want to contribute society. He gives his service that I voluntarily or however I can do, they will make use. One is this way and one is the other way, are they saying? So in that regard I would say, like giving you the example of Brother Ansar and others and many, that a person should put on the plate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you have given me this quality, this is wealth or time. Do you not need to be wealthy to do that? Because the most work of thee had been done by the poor people, the middle classes. The wealthy mostly went against Anbiya, only few helped them, like Sayyidina Abu Bakr or Sayyidina Usman, but other were like normal lower class, being in our clothes, as I say, actually, or there was not in that society, Kufriya and Abu Jahl society, they had lower class. In Rasulullah's society, Sayyidina Bilal was the highest class, actually. Even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala say, oh, our master Bilal. In the prophetic vision, same things were different. So, yeah, like as I mentioned, so I say that inshallah, person should present whatever money, skill, time, or his traveling, or whatever, and inshallah, he will be made use of. That is the, I think, most appropriate way. And the other is that I might have a very good idea, I might have a very good skill of, but if I am, like you mentioned, that if it's causing conflict, then overall it's beneficial to stay withhold one's idea or one's skill for the overall benefit of it. Sometimes partially in one field one person might, for example, be better than the other ones, but if he does come into the one field, for example in computer or graphics, but he causes the whole departments to disintegrate, then what will I do with those graphics when all others are not support to for the computer, for they are not there? What will be the designing of for me of that use, Brother Ansar or anyone, because if I cannot utilize them. So remember, the a person should consider both things, both points. One is that where I can benefit, and generally in your field sometimes I can benefit more than the other person. And one is the overall picture of the organization and the path or the country, that will that overall benefit or not? Or will I small, being small, beneficial way, but I will cause chaos to the overall thing. So these are some guiding, you may say, suggestions on that occasions. Like the brothers who gone from Denmark, he's gone back, he came for 2-3 days, there were two brothers who sat at the car for three. And he said, you know, I've seen some good work and all these things, mashallah, good. I am an accountant. If you want anything to do with accountancy, contact, I'll do it. So in his mind, he knew he doesn't have knowledge as such or any other skill, nor he is practicing as much. He came that something good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me some quality. He offered, I don't, I am not at anything else. I am accountant. And if I can, like I said to the brother who is tax advisor, Yejo brother from Woking, I said to him that people are meaning defrauding the government and the public funds in unlawful way because of the tax system and things, and they don't know how to pay less taxes, meaning they are not using the facilities the law gives them to avoid tax, and they are using the unlawful ways to avoid tax. So I said that if you can come up with, if for normal people, for small businesses, or for example people want taxi or small businesses, that how can lawfully they can earn better income rather than going into, because their tax system is not Islamic system. So if that tax system say pay 35% tax, it also says that you have this provision, this allowance, this allowance, this allowance, this expenditure. If you utilize that, you might be ending up with the same amount by writing rather than writing wrong figures on the paper and using the same money which you could have got the lawful way. I mean, these companies, big companies, like let's say they are like Coca-Cola or anything, they in many countries they are not paying tax at all, or very minimum level of tax. For example, they will have here and a company, and they will register it in another country like Dubai or anything, wherever their office is, for example. I'm not saying reality, I'm just giving you an example. I'm not saying they are doing this, or they might be, and many companies do. That they have a registered office somewhere there, and all the profits which they are earning in UK, what will they say? The country, the registered company in Dubai will send a bill that you've used our secret formula of Coke, same company, registered differently, and we, it's 20 million for the using the same formula of secret of Coke. So that is the expenditure. And the millions of the Coca-Cola company is making here, normal small business is paying more tax than the whole of the Coca-Cola company in the country, because of manipulating the figures and doing all this. Actually, they're paying next to nothing really compared to what they are making. So I was saying to him that when all these big organizations, they are not doing something unlawful, but they are using the same law, same loopholes, or you may say same to actually do things lawfully. And normal people like me and you, we are guilty in ourselves, going against Sharia as well, and abusing public funds as well, just because of not having. So if anyone have, let's say, the brother said, I have this skill, alhamdulillah, he can help people who are on the sheet of the stomach, who are trying to make their, for example, the one of the organs purified, they are earning halal and things, and their ways. Similarly, some other might have other ways. Alhamdulillah, and like in the vision, it's missions, that this message simple message. There's no secret about this message, you see. It's a very, very like black and white, crystal clear message. Anyone can, you can explain in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and methodology as well. The rest is actually, while to attract people, there are many, many other things which false people do to attract people. We are having this and showing, we are going to build a lot of buildings and things, and the end of the day, they are not having, it's only for short time, these flashy things and very attractive measures to make money and charity, and then showing people all these plans and not actually then doing things to that limit. So they can for 1 or 2 years survive, or few years, but then when people know their reality, thousand years, message is on the rock bottom, you may say solid foundation of each of everything on the Quran and Sunnah, and also even previous Anbiya alayhi salam also gave the same message as well. While some rules were different of Sharia, but the message was actually the same. Brother have asked, does the spirit know where it travels, i.e. to good and evil places? Yes, spirit is the most knowledgeable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's more knowledgeable creation than any other creation. Spirit, the Ruh, have vast knowledge. It instantly can learn. For example, what the body and the mind can learn in 50 years, it can in 1 second it can learn. Ruh is actually such knowledge. So it definitely knows if you are going to good and evil places, because it does not only know, but it is affected by what you are doing. What you are doing. Astaghfirullah. Allahumma salli wa sallim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Sahib, as you know, there's quite a lot of new people here in the talk, and quite a lot of new people who have come from Birmingham with me also. Alhamdulillah, overall they have very much benefited from the course and enjoyed the course. However, quite a few brothers have expressed doubts to me, and I thought it's worth just mentioning those here. And those doubts are in relation to the visions, like the visions of Brother Ilyas, that they have doubts, and I wonder if you can just give a little bit of deviation from those doubts.
Okay. Right. The first thing about that is that when he first day, when Brother Ilyas or anyone who stood up, Brother Gulfam mentioned in clear cut term, visions does not determine one's closeness to Allah. Visions are not part of the tariq. So how can they have doubt about tariq when they are not part and parcel of tariq? They are something additional. Some are seeing good dreams, some is bad dream. Well, like after Fajr, it was not Brother Ilyas, but you know, few, maybe tens and twenties people who've seen the visions. So you cannot deny. Rasulullah SAW said that Nabuwa, the prophethood has ended, but illa al-mubasharat, but glad tidings. And the Sahaba said, what are those from my dreams, visions, dreams? They are actually, they will stay there until the day of judgment. But rather Rasulullah SAW said in a hadith that as the day of judgment come closer, the visions of the believers will increase and become more truer and truer, because actually shaitani forces were coming. So if it was only if me saying, then there will be doubt. I never mentioned I had a vision, or I have ever had a vision, or I do have anything like this. It's you, you tell, you ask me dream, I tell you interpretation. Simple as that. And now, for example, Brother Musa is he came to the fold of Islam, is it 1 year ago? 7 months. He saw visions, mashallah, very beautiful. Like you were asking about other worlds, are there other creation and other earths? Brother Musa has seen in vision other earth and other worlds as well. So you have asked me, I have told you, this is better. Then 6-7 months have happened. So if it was only that, this becomes a fitna when the leader says, I see this and I see that, and you should do this and thing. Then it's a problem, it can be manipulated, it can be controlled by shaitan, it can be other things and one thing. Now if one brother is having a blessing, he has a good voice, I shouldn't be just doubtful that why he has good voice. If one has good knowledge, alhamdulillah, I should pray for him. If one has a good dream, I should be happy for him. But from the visions, as I said, Brother Gulfam also explained to you, or dream, no halal or haram can be made halal or haram. No command of Sharia, any addition or omission comes. Whilst other things, mashallah, and a person who is doubtful, even he will say, I don't believe, no harm in there. If you don't believe in anyone's dream, he is not a prophet, you would not believe in his dream. Good and well, you get on with the three. So I have mentioned to you from the beginning to the end, only those things that you should have showed you, the world of Alme Arwa, Alme Barzakh, this world, Dunya and Akhira. You should be worried about that, because Prophet was shown visions of those worlds. So you should be sure about that only. That is what you need to believe. Then you need to correct your aqeedah, your belief, repentance, and make effort. After that, save your tongue from the sins, save your ears from the sins, your private parts, stomach, hands, and actually ears and eyes and mouth. And then purify your mind from evil, and purify your heart like we discussed today from. And that's what holy, and follow sunnah, that's what you need to do. You don't need to believe in anything whatsoever. But we can't deny reality. People have dreams. We can't say you don't have dreams. Someone says, I have a dream. I say, no, you can't have a dream. Yes, if he says on the basis of dream something unlawful, then I can say that it can be shaitanic, or it is just your thoughts. But you cannot, this is reality. Meaning it happens with people. If it was one person, I can tell 15-20 people who never came here, they will also tell you. Last time your son came, Suleiman, wo kahan upar bacha hoga? He said, I wanted to see Prophet ﷺ. He did meditation and he saw Rasulullah ﷺ. No child of 10-12 years. He said, we can't say that you have not seen him. So we will be sinful. So isme ye nahi hai. So a person should draw a line somewhere between. What is that line? They are not part and parcel of the path to Allah, but they are scenes of the way. People can have bad visions, good visions, bad feelings, good feelings, bad thoughts, good thoughts. They come to human beings. And if someone wants, like some people are of this mentality that they want evidence from Quran and Sunnah, there's plenty evidence in Quran and Sunnah of this as well. Like for example, one I would say, Sayyida Maryam, who was not a prophet, who was a woman, how can women be prophets? But she was a pious lady. She had visions of angels who came to visit her and said, you are going to have a son called Jesus, which is the servant of Allah. Quran mentions on two occasions this, that she will have a son. The angels come and tell Mary. While Mary is normal person, meaning not a prophet, he is high-ranking Siddiqa, high-ranking Waliya, followers of Moses at that time, but not a prophet. Similarly, mother of Moses, she got a vision and it was revealed to her that she should put Moses into a basket and put it in the sea, while she was also. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Luqman, Sayyidina Luqman alayhi salam, that I give him direct wisdom, knowledge. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ. Similarly, about Hazrat Khidr, how did he know that this the baby, the child he killed, that he is going to become astray and lead his parents astray. The visions of Hazrat Khizr and his story are also example of that. And similarly, the story of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he said, "I want the Queen Bilqis is coming from Yemen, and he was in Jerusalem, and I want her whole palace, her throne, to come here." So he was having vision. Jinnat even were having vision. They were saying that we can bring it as well, but in 1 hour time, 2 hour time. And then said, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, the one person amongst the his sahabis, awliya, one person amongst the, who was not a prophet, he said, "I cannot only see, but I can bring with the izan of Allah, with the blink of an eye." So these are Quranic realities. The hadith are full of them, inshallah. And now as well, until day of judgment, only two things have ended. There is no wahi, there is no prophethood, this, and there is no mu'jizat now, because they come with Anbiya alayhi salam. And there is no change to the rules of Sharia, do's and don'ts, laws in the Sharia, on the basis of actually it is. Otherwise, dreams, they have a reality. This azan which you give Rasulullah sallallahu in Prophet sallallahu time, he alayhi sallam thought that, how shall we call now people to mosque? One sahabi said, "We lit a fire and people will know that we should come to prayer." Rasulullah says, "I don't like this, because this is sign of the Majusi fire worshippers." They said, "The Nisara, you will use a bell." He alayhi sallam said, "No, this is the sign of Nisara." So no decision was made. And then in the morning, one sahabi came up. He said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu, I saw an angel, and he was saying certain kalimat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashadu wa ilayla." Just based on his dream, the Prophet sallallahu said, "This is going to be the call to prayer now, azan." So there is reality of deen. If you, but the way of the answer of Sufiya and Ahlullah is, you don't become pious by them, you don't become more righteous, but if you want to see for yourself, come and follow the path, they will come in your way as well. And if you are sitting there on a rubbish dump and dreaming of actually dreamland or a big palace, you know, becoming rich, you have to do some effort to see something. So you try as well for yourself on that basis, if a person wants. Otherwise, it's fine, inshallah. Jazakallah. Aur kuch question? Before you begin, Brother Zafar, I have one thing to say to these people as well. On my behalf, you should say that, okay, you have the doubt about vision or anything. Okay, we don't say you should have vision, you should have good and well, finish the matter. Just don't believe, just think nothing happens. Have you got doubt about the path to Allah? Why not begin that? If you only want satisfaction, well, you should be satisfied with the path to Allah, that Allah, we should follow the sunnah, we should follow, and we should purify our organs, we should have good qualities in the heart, we should leave the sins, the pornography, the time wasting, sleeping at prayer times, and laziness, and following. Is there any doubt about that? Jiska doubt nahi hai, uski to itaba karo, aur isko bhi shak chhod do, there is no sin amongst upon you. Okay, yes, Brother Zafar.
Assalamualaikum. You mentioned earlier, tie down your blessings with the chain of shukr.
Right.
That your blessing will never go away. We've heard that many times by doing shukr. So, what is the best methodology of doing shukr?
Inshallah, tomorrow we are going to cover it, but I will say it because maybe we have time or not tomorrow. Shukr has certain elements in it. First, there is one spiritual element, and there is a physical element to the shukr. The spiritual element of thankfulness and shukr is believing and admitting that blessing came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His fadl, not on the basis only of my effort and my striving. Yes, effort and striving has a part to play, but just on that basis. It's like a plus and minus of two electrical wires. You see, switch mein do tare hoti hai na, red one, blue one, or the other red one, do bhi hai, plus and minus. Now, if you have plus live wire, it can't work as well. If you have only the minus one, it can't work as well. They both. So effort and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grace of Allah, is like that. That Allah subhanahu, that there should be effort from your side, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the fadl and grace as well. So really, so the positive is like the grace and fadl. It has some current in it. Negative mein to kuch nahi hai, it is negative thing in it there. So our effort is negative, in reality it's only there. There's nothing in the negative, nothing is going to happen, it can't harm, it can't benefit, negative. Positive at least can kill people. Wo ko pakdega, usko to nuksan ho jayega, etc. Or at least they are connected, or, and it has power, meaning it will be yielded in some way. So that's why the Prophet said about that, none of you will enter Jannah by your amal, but by the fadl and grace of Allah. Not meaning not only by your effort. Yes, your effort has a role to play, but the effort do not have power to give you Jannah. It's Allah's grace and mercy who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give. So it's like a farmer who sows a seed. Yes, sowing a seed does play a role, but where does the plant, where does the tree come from is with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where, how does the seed germinate? The fazal of Allah. And just sowing it is your part. So you play your part as well. So first spiritual element of thankfulness is that not only lip service, but in the heart you believe and you are sure and you remind yourself that this blessing which I have is from Allah, not me. Because otherwise what will happen, the Quran says, like Karun had wealth of blessing. Meaning this blessing as a wealth came, but it became a test for him with the dua of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And when it was said to him that you give in the way of Allah, be thankful, he said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيْتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. This is my business mindedness. This is my cleverness. This is my planning, O Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. I am business mind person, that's why I earned. It is my knowledge, my skill, I planned, I did this deal, I gave this idea, etc., etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةً. This is the test which people fear. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. More and most of them do not know that planning, all the planning is there and companies go bankrupt. The planners are there, everything is fine, the planning is there. So it's ultimately controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you say, it was my planning and my business, I have a business mind. Who gave you that business mind? That mind which think business wise. Who gave you that idea which planning came? Where did that thought come from? You will find that also come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything returned to Allah. So first part of the blessing, thankfulness is to admit and to not admit but happily affirm that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is bestowing. It is for you from Allah. Even if I have done effort, I've done it with the hands created by you. I have used the mind. Yes, the mind was given by you. I have used time. The time was created by you. So he admits it from all point dimensions. And second thing is to, for thankfulness, to use that blessing in obedience, not disobedience of Allah. This is second element of thankfulness as well. For example, you have money, now it shouldn't be that you are extravagant and doing israf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That these extravagant people who are just squandering wealth, they are brothers of shaitan. Why they are brothers? Because he squandered the greatest wealth, Jannah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and greatest health and other knowledge and things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and he wasted, how is he wasting? He's using it against Allah now. That's what I'm saying. The second element is not to use that blessing against in the disobedience of Allah. So he has a long life, but he using it against Allah. He has the power to travel here and there very fast, using it against Allah and against the people. He has other powers. Everything he is using against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people, Bani Adam, and against the Jinnah. He is not only an enemy of human being, he is enemy of Jinnah as well. He is also leading them astray to hell as well. So he is evil, sheerly evil person. So second thing is that blessing, be it wealth, be it eyes, be it ears, don't use them in disobedience of Allah. If you have children, don't use them in disobedience of Allah. Ask them to do and those things which are not. If you have wife, don't use that relationship in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, you can take examples of the time, business, money, or skill, whatever you have. And third element of shukr is share it with the creation of Allah. Sharing it with the creation of Allah, whatever you have. Lend it to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Extend it to the creation of Allah. Be it money, be it knowledge, be it wisdom. So if you are pious or you have come on the path of piety, the thankfulness will be to convey that message to others. This will be a thankfulness. So when you are going to do that, you are going to become more stronger. You are going to become stronger. So these three things, and plus, Brother Zafar, if you have noticed or not, then in the book of the Tariqah, there are seven levels of shukr. So how the methodology is that you practice that each level of shukr, which I have mentioned now here, there are seven, turn by turn for 90 days. And then inshallah, slowly, shukr comes in you. It won't come with theory. Like if you are sitting here today and listening to all this course, and then you come next year, listen to it, it's as though you are at the airport, not taking the flight. Every year you go to the Manchester airport, yeah, I'm going to Makkah and Medina, they are very nice places, and sit at the airport on the seats and drink tea, little, come back home. Next year again go to the airport, it's very good. Yeah, I've seen pictures of Medina Sharif, very nice there. Makkah Sharif is very nice to do Umrah, people going there. Yes, it's where you need visa. I know everything. I know the hotel people there. I can book. But you go to the airport, after a few of my other people sit in the flight, you say, oh, I have to do things. I'm going, maybe next time then. Don't be like this. Sit in the plane as well. Otherwise, all your life you will be here, but you would have never actually taken off because you never boarded the plane. You only go to the airport and look at the plane. They look very nice. Yes, they look very nice. They have wings and things. And so similarly, some people, they look at other pious people. Oh yes, he's done good. Yes, he has done good. He is more pious than me. They look at others and sit there, have a tea and drink and little bit of talking and seeing the other people, and they come back. So, istaranam. Because otherwise then you are still there. It won't take you to Haraman by just actually having knowledge how to get there. Only those people who have done Hajj, who went there, who went to Umrah, those who went there, even though they don't have knowledge. If you have complete knowledge, you are like a group leader, and you know each and everything, how to do Hajj, how to book visa, how to fly, you are expert. But if you don't travel yourself, your Hajj will not be performed. And there is a person who is simple minded, 80 years of age, he doesn't know anything, he can't even sign, he doesn't know how to write. And he just comes, he says, I want to travel. He goes to an agent, says, yeah, I'll give you money, please, I want to go to Hajj. He don't know anything, where the hotel is, he doesn't know even where the Kaaba is, which country he is. But he is following a leader, and he sits in the plane. He will eventually, like you see many elderly people, 70, 80, they can't see, they have five number of glasses, and still, mashallah, they actually are doing little bit there, and whatever they do there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts because of their old age, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person reaches 60 or 70 years age, in one hadith 60, Allah excuses that person from many things. He instructs angel, don't write everything of this person. If he does these mistakes due to the being aged or due to effects of the age, don't write. Allah excuses that person. So that's why we are instructed to respect elderly, although they might be apparently doing wrong things sometimes, meaning mistakes, but they are excused people. So we say with ultimate respect and honor, because we will become sinful if we do it harshly, they won't be sinful of doing their mistakes as well sometimes. तो ये है शुक्र तो वो अच्छी चीज है और साथ जो है उसको हासिल करना to attain it meaning book a first class seat for शुक्र but you can only sit there where you booked when you go in here are first class में बैठे it's no use I booked a first class seat but you are sitting here on a donkey cart so this still will be there on the road actually. So if you are sitting on the nafs, it isn't I know this, I have not that of knowledge, I know this, etc. You know how to get closer to Allah, and etc, etc. No, you, that's just wishful thinking. Allah. Okay, Jazakallah, now the time has passed, the 5:30. So inshallah you have to continue with the other halqas as well. So try to start, those people who have been before, try to start and then see. And once you've started, you are going to die as well, meaning one day. And you will have something on your side actually to save you by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah ahsan al-jaza. Thank you for your time and attention. Subhanakallahum bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa an. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk.
Allah. Please remain seated. Thank you.